Good afternoon. Today is Wednesday, December the 26th, 361st day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon. Boy, it looks like you're either going skiing or you're concerned that you might get lost.
I'm just happy the world didn't end.
Supervisor Sundberg is with us and his glowing shoelaces.
They're running shoes.
Jackets. Are they?
Yeah.
See, I've not seen one of those in a while.
Yeah, I thought someone might chase me today.
So I don't know if I've ever.
I came prepared.
Yeah. Don't worry about me. Nah. An interesting bow tie you tie, too.
You like that?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll teach it to you.
Okay. It's probably like an Indian knot or something like that. And I can't do sailor knots or Boy Scout knots, so I should be able to do any knots.
Yeah, you can call it what you want.
Ugly.
Okay, that's fine, too. This is so I don't have to tie my shoes. I can just slip them on.
I understand the methodology. You'll notice. I don't even have things that can wear out. So
that works.
Yeah. So I'm presuming Santa was okay for you.
Of course. Yes.
Good.
I have a 7-year-old. Santa's not about me anymore.
It never was. I hate to break it to you. This afternoon, we'll do a little bit of a year in review. What was 2012? Something to remember, something to forget, something to throw away. We'll figure it out when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:14. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Ryan Sundberg. But before we do you prefer pithy or...
Pithy works.
Challenging.
No, I'm in a pithy mood.
Okay. Yeah. I kind of sense that. It just in looking at you, reading your eyes, you're kind of in a pithy mood, yes.
I've got to hang out with Rex in a little bit. So.
Okay, here you go. It's a little heavy, but not too bad.
Okay.
Are you a musician at all?
No.
Okay, got to find another chord then.
Not even in the shower.
Thank you for the sharing. Quote. This is from General Omar Bradley. You remember him?
Sure.
Yeah. I don't. The greatness of a leader is measured by the achievement of the lead. This is the ultimate test of his effectiveness. Not too humorous, but that's all right. It works for us.
Not too pithy.
No.
Who's counting?
Yeah. You don't screw with a general, right?
Not when there's lead.
Oh, gee. So, what was 2012 like for you?
Quick.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, 2012, let's see. What do you want? Some of the highlights?
General impression. I mean, I know that it was contentious at times. How's that for a big word? Huh?
Yeah, it was, you know, I guess that you would put the general plan in there, and it was
general plan. You could put the redevelopment agencies getting blown up by the state. You could do some of the shell games that are going on. You could do the extra sales tax getting whipped on by the voters. I mean, take your pick. There's many, many opportunities to take your shot. Mm-hmm. You and the general.
Yeah, work that in good.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, all those were. It was an interesting year.
You can't do that as your response. Yeah, all those.
No, I'll take the general plan, since I probably know the most about that, or try to, anyways. Depends on who you ask. That one was. It's real strange, you know, how it started off, came to the board, and finally got over from the planning commission out of the planning commission after almost 12 years, and comes to our board and. Next thing you know, it felt like we were wordsmithing the general plan. And then the strangest thing ever happens where this group of the most diverse people that I could possibly put in a room, get together, and know you weren't counted.
Yeah.
But
almost as diverse as you could imagine.
Yeah. Well, when you see Lee Lancey and Dan Ayersman come up to the podium together, almost hugging, it's a very strange sight.
Yeah, there's a little suspended reality going on.
Yeah. We were all looking at each other like, uh-oh, what's going on here? This is not getting punked.
Yeah.
But yeah, their product has been great. And they've worked out a lot of these little word issues that we're having a hard time with. And I think I've told people it's much, much better for them to wordsmith this thing than have us try and do it at our board meetings. Because first of all, I'm probably not qualified to do that. Haven't dealt with general plans extensively. I'm not a planner. I just haven't dealt with it. And so everything that I am doing, I'm learning. So having me do it is probably not the best idea for the community. I can make a good stab at it, but I think it's a much, much better product having these guys do it. So that was nice. It was an unexpected surprise.
Is the pace of process?
I think it's a little tiny bit slower than what we were doing, but it's a much better product, and I think everybody can agree that they're happy with the outcome. There's not this factions of people who just hate it and factions of people who just love it. And
everybody loves it, man. Everybody loves it. Well, KINS, News and Information.
Everybody hates it a little bit now.
Okay, there you go. It's 3:19.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. 5 years ago, Mark and Lori Sanchez hit upon an idea. Gift baskets of Humboldt-made food products that folks could send to family and friends here or in distant places. They coined the name Humboldtious for their collection, and their company, Bella Baskets, took off. Today they have regular customers in all 50 states and 14 countries. One man in Point Barrow, Alaska, regularly orders a meat sauce. A film company in Ontario, Canada, orders barbecue sauce for its catering department. This Christmas season, Mark and Lori expect to sell 700 Bella Baskets. Their taste treats include such things as canned albacore, honey, barbecue sauces, hot sauces, jams, pralined almonds, coffee, and chocolate, all Humboldt County products. Based in Old Town, their business continues to grow, and, just as important, it's bringing outside money into our economy. Their website is bella-basket.com. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and activities that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Ryan Sundberg. Ryan, before the break, you were talking about the general plan and some of the progress that was being made by the community group. What has been the fallout of the fact that, one, this entity or this group of entities is having any voice in the process? Is the Planning Commission feeling that this is a partnership? A three-way partnership now, or are they drawing guns at the city limits and saying, okay, we don't want to, don't bother calling us. It's your game now, and they're riding off. How has this been accepted? Because I would believe this is precedent-setting for other projects that other commissions and committees are going to be presenting to the board in the future.
I don't know if it's precedent setting or not. It could be. As far as your question, I haven't heard anything from the Planning Commission. I specifically called my planning commissioner because I had a lot of questions on the general plan, and I had lists of things that I needed to talk about, and this was making it really, really slow, and we were arguing at the board meetings, and anybody that watched any of those could see where that was going. And I called my planning commissioner and asked, am I offending you by, doing this and asking questions and changing things? And she said, that's your job is to fix it. If you don't like it, fix it. You're the one who got elected. You just appointed me to try and help you out. So I know my planning commissioner didn't mind at all of us tweaking it, changing it, doing whatever we wanted with it.
Has there been any feedback about the process from the Planning Commission?
No, none. I haven't had any. I can't speak for everybody else. I haven't had any.
So. You know what they talk about when the woods are silent and you can't hear anything? Just consider. Now you mentioned you're a planning commissioner, and I think a lot of folks don't remember necessarily that the Supes get an opportunity to make appointments. Is that an annual appointment? Is that a termed appointment? Do they stay there as long as you stay there? How does that work out?
Yeah, each supervisor gets one planning commissioner appointment that you can keep, change as often as you'd like while you're in office. And then there's two at large where the whole board by majority votes on one. Right now, we only have one at large seat since Mary Gearhart stepped down. There is one open. We didn't refill that seat. So in January, when Estelle comes on, Estelle Fennell, she comes on, we'll have to fill that position.
So she was occupying the chair that Cliff's appointee was in?
No. Cliff's appointment is Mel Crabb.
So Mel then just stays on until somebody kicks him off, kind of thing?
Well,
or he leaves?
Actually, it's interesting you ask that, because Mel Crabb actually is redistricted out of Cliff's district. So Estelle can't keep him on if she wanted to. He would have to fill the at-large position or go into the, what is it, the first district.
Or second, third?
Yeah, so...
There's a hyphen between them all right now, isn't there?
Yeah. Well, you remember about a year ago, a year and a half ago, they redistricted that his where he lives, the line moved, and so he can't be in there anymore after that, because you have to be in the district to be a planning commissioner for Estelle.
I would imagine that there probably wouldn't be too much concern if he wanted to continue. Question being, does he want to continue? Now, the planning commission is one that gets an awful lot of attention.
Yeah, and there's going to be a big change over there, you know, because you're going to have Estelle, who's going to pick someone new. We're going to have the at-large position get filled, and I don't know what Rex is going to do, if he's going to keep Commissioner Nelson or not. And, so you could, you know, potentially have three new seats there, and then Sue's relatively new. She's been there
so be a lot of new,
under 2 years.
New folks and, on board, yeah.
Yeah.
The Planning Commission gets the spotlight. There's a number of other commissions also. Do you see any of those having real impact in 2012?
Say that.
Other commissions.
Other commissions.
The Planning Commission.
We're on most of those. The, you know, I'm going to be the chair in January.
And yeah, I've heard you're going to be wielding your power.
Oh, I
swinging it left and right. Like, yeah.
Yeah, our, well... When is it? Two Tuesdays ago was our last meeting, and I told our clerk, I said, yeah, we're going to need a bigger gavel. So she
get you a big foam gavel.
She laughed at me and walked away. I don't know what happened, but
well, obviously, was it heavy? Where heavy is the crown?
Yeah. So I guess where I was going with that is I'll be on HCOG. And HCOG does quite a bit.
That's one of the big boys.
Yeah, they're one of the more active ones. And whoever's the chair of the board is the delegate for HCOG. So Virginia will be stepping down from there, and I'll be on, and Rex will be the vice chair.
A frightening concept all by itself. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:30. We'll be back with more from Ryan Sundberg.
Santa's been to Palco Pharmacy with a full bag overflowing with great ideas. For Christmas season entertaining, you'll find seasonal dishes and glassware for a wonderful festive event. There's some dancing mice and fun figurines that seem to have captured the essence of Christmas joy and fun. And don't forget those very special Christmas cards for loved ones and family members. Those are also available for you. Santa's been there, and now it's your turn to go to Palco Pharmacy in the Scotia Shopping Center, your center for pharmacy and gift ideas this Christmas.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Ryan Sundberg. Ryan, looking at the financial condition of the county at the beginning of, we're close enough, at the beginning of 2013 versus the beginning of 2012. Same, better, worse?
It's actually better. That's the projections are. The first year I was on, we had to do cuts, and that was the fourth year in a row that they did cuts to across the board, all countywide. Nobody was spared. And last year was the first year in 4 years that they basically stayed even. And no, there was no cuts, but there was nobody that got their budgets increased either. So, I mean, it was nice being able to tell people at least that they didn't have, especially the sheriff, you know, the biggest user of the general plan is the sheriff's department. And
oh, not the travel fund?
Very funny.
So, I got stirred up a little bit over the holidays.
Yeah, no kidding. So there's still big problems, though. You know, we're, the picture looks much better this year, but it's still nowhere close to where we need to be. I noticed in the paper a few weeks back, they showed that we hired 3 new deputies. And I read the press release where Sheriff Downey said, you know, we've hired 3 new deputies. Here they are. However, we're still 15 deputies short. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's, and if we could fill those and pay, you know, if we had the money, we would fill those positions. And yeah, I've done some ride-alongs with some of the sheriff's officers and or with Deputy Bickle. He's been great. He's in McKinleyville, and he, you know, the amount of overtime they work, the shifts they have, you know, they do 10-hour shifts and then they take another day on, and it's just brutal. They just, you know, they need some more help. And as soon as we have money, I think our board would, do that. And then you look at the DA's office, and they were really dependent on grants for a long time. When those grants dried up, then, you know, a lot of the money that they used for to fill their positions has gone away as well, and the general fund hasn't been able to pick it up.
Well, and that's been one of the big discussions over the years, too. If you are using grant funding as a way to supplant or expand your personnel, your staffing, that's really kind of a tenuous situation. You got a 2-year grant, that's dandy. Okay, you got 2 years. But then somewhere around month 22, yeah, if you don't have another grant, all of a sudden, whatever that individual has been doing kind of goes away.
Yeah, well, I think it's just the risk you have to assume, and they did, and it worked for a long time. You know, it's probably if you had it to do all over again, you would probably do the same thing.
So how much are you talking about for the DA and for the sheriffs? I mean, how much money would Humboldt County need to receive, however, or in whatever fashion, general fund, I would presume, to make that happen? Is that $1 million?
It's probably about 2.5 to 3 million, and we could put a pretty good dent in it.
How many people are you talking about?
There's 20 people or so.
20 people. $100,000 a pop?
Probably around there, yeah, because the DA's office is going to hire attorneys, which are probably more than 100, or, you know, by time pay benefits and all their packages and everything. And then deputies, what they include in there is their car, their uniform, tires, you know, all the stuff that comes along with it. So you have their salary plus their benefits plus all the, yeah, you have all that together. You just don't hire an officer. You have to give them stuff to perform their job as well.
Why don't you do a ride around in your rig?
They can borrow it whenever they want. It's red.
Yeah, well, it kind of works. Call it a funny looking fire truck.
Enough people know what I drive now. They'll get egged, and at least they can defend themselves.
Yeah. I'm curious with some of the discussions that are going on about revenue generation, governments, and blah blah blah, and some of the weird things that the governor is doing. Why the counties who are, I would say, doing battle for general fund dollars aren't behind the movement to have all internet transactions subject to sales tax?
Well, it's funny you said that. That was actually, it's
funny or darkly ironic.
We have a legislative platform, and that was one of the things that was on the list, and we made a calculated decision that the rest of California is really looking at that and pushing hard for that sales tax. So we took it off of our platform and replaced it with an airline service one. So we thought we'd get more bang for our buck, because you can only have there's six of them, six platforms and or six things on our platform.
So you have a limited number, you just can't.
Yeah, so
like
we
your Christmas wish list.
Yeah, so we thought we'd get more bang for our buck with the airline one as opposed to the internet sales tax one. But it's still, the only reason we did that is because we know that there's so many other counties that are looking at it, and we didn't think that having Humboldt's voice added to it would dramatically change that. But it is definitely something that we're interested in.
KINS, News and Information Times, 3:41. We'll be back with more from Ryan Sundberg.
The Humboldt Waste Management Authority is conducting a series of community workshops to share information regarding what services the authority provides, like hazardous and electronic waste collection events, along with the authority's future goals and opportunities for recycle and disposal. Tonight's workshop is in McKinleyville at the Grace Good Shepherd Church, starting at 6. Join in for one of the series of workshops held this week and next week to give your input and share your thoughts about Humboldt Waste Management Authority. A full schedule of meetings are available at the website hwma.net.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:44. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Super... I just can't call you that.
Please don't.
What Virginia does, it's too...
Does she make you call her Supervisor Bass?
No.
Oh, good.
No. I wouldn't do it anyway.
You've known her too long, huh?
Yeah, something about going back to elementary school kind of throws all that stuff off real quickly, yeah. Ryan, when we talk about economic development...
She makes me call her Supervisor Bass.
Well, that's because you're a special kind of guy.
Oh, okay.
I'm just me.
Sorry to throw you off there.
No. It's going to take more than that to knock me off the rail right now. Economic development. You were talking about the importance of airlines. As we look at, and I think everybody could call it a depressed economic picture in our area, and if you pull out government, what's left? Looking at the future, looking at trying to get some of the storefronts full with viable businesses, trying to get the employment picture a little bit more viable. One body says, get out of the way. Okay, I mean, there's certainly costs with regulation. I got that one. But infrastructure needs is also a significant requirement. Mm-hmm. You've got the roads now, by and large. Yeah.
No, we still have
except
some
for
work.
Snow grades and some slides and things like that. But it's not what it was.
Yeah, going over to Redding's looking a lot better. And then we're still working on Richardson's Grove.
Yeah. So we blow that one through the way that it should be. Okay, that's squared up. What is more critical to the future of our area, do you think? Airplanes, more capacity, or more internet, or land use? I mean, all three of them could be argued pretty hard.
Mm-hmm.
I get that. How would you rank those three as far as order of priority?
Well, I would tell you that all three of them are important, and we're going to work on all three of them no matter what. But if I had
this
to rank them,
this is not a we. This is a you.
Me, yeah. Well, it's we.
No. Oh, pardon me. The royal we. Sorry. Yeah. That explains that funny wave you did coming through this a little bit earlier. Okay.
In the trumpets.
Yeah.
But I would say that the internet access is probably the most important, and the reason I say that is it's just. The future is there. There's so much commerce that can be done. There's everything is going that direction. All the things you can do on your cell phone and tablet and the things that are coming that we don't even know about or can think about right now, but will be here. Without that connection and a backup and another backup, so it doesn't go down and that it's faster than it is now, and to be able to keep up with the things that, you know, being able to stream HD movies to, you know, banking, and saw there's a Bank of America app where you take a picture of your check and send it into your bank account now. You know, just
I mean, smiley face comes back.
Hopefully, it's still black. I think that's, you know, just the future of how we do things. I think is the internet and a fast internet. You know, and so that's why I think that's the most important. The airlines, I don't know if you know anybody who flies in and out of here, tries to, but it's a complete joke right now
but
to
you know
fly
what?
In and out
if we
of
had
public
15 animals. Zillion airplanes landing, as a round number, you still got the fog. We're still going to have the challenges, you know, until the facility is manned with a body in the tower.
Well, they actually, when we were looking at the last go round of revenue guarantee money and all that, the company that they were doing that they're negotiating with had a plane for Humboldt County that had equipment on it that would let it land in the fog. You could have fog right down on the runway.
Oh, really?
And you could land it without someone manned in the
that
in
makes
the thing.
It a little more viable then instead of turning everybody back when it's clear skies.
Yeah, it was a jet, and it was you know,
is that the one that the lines that there was the extension made to accommodate that size plane? Is that part of that next generation? Or was
no, the extension had to be done to satisfy the FAA, and it was either make it longer or do the crush stuff. But it does allow you to land bigger planes, and this plane that they're talking about would have flown in and out of here regardless. It's not real big. But it had the equipment on it to let it land in the fog. And
so it is possible to do that.
It's possible, yeah.
If the carrier decides that they want to invest in that.
Yeah, but we got to get around San Francisco because it's a mess down there.
Oakland is wonderful. But then that's United.
Yeah. I think what they'll end up doing is finding a way to get to L.A. because L.A. has a lot of connections in and out of here. Or not in and here, but international West, flights and domestic flights that goes all over the place from there. So
well,
if you get to LA, there's no you got to deal with smog, not fog.
Yeah.
So
if you land in that stuff, man.
But I think if we get another connection out of here, is going to be it'll make a big difference.
Good. Well, hopefully that'll be something we'll be talking next year at this time, as you're no longer wielding the heavy hammer of. I'll work on it. When I show up, when you see me next time, I'll have a phrase for you.
Okay.
Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
We've been talking shop with Ryan Sundberg. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. So then go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.